few days. So the book that I chose was a book called Strategic Acceleration, Succeed at the Speed of Life. And it's a great book. I was introduced to it by Al Bala, and I immediately bought it when he told me about how excited he was about it, because I love to capture books that people at corporate are reading and what's going on there, because they have their whole mind body focus is what's happening in Manitech, and although I'm very entrenched in Manitech, I have other focuses as well. So it's fun to pick up on what their thinking is, so I can take it and start applying it in my own life. And I read the book and I loved it. So I decided, but it wasn't a book I could teach in one session, and it was also a book that made a lot of sense for us to build a foundation going into 2012, because it really has to do with us grappling with stuff that's holding us back, and then putting together strategic plans and all those kind of things. So what my dedication to all of you is, every single December I've always dedicated 4 weeks or three, and depending on how many Mondays we have, I've dedicated it to goal setting and strategically putting yourself in a position to move forward for the following year. And if you want to get some of that, again, you can go back and look at Manitrain over last year's or the year before. I probably have, 3 or 4, 5 years maybe posted of 3 to 4 weeks of goal setting. And I kind of fine-tune them year after year. But this year, I really want to do something a little different. I want to take on, and it is goal setting in its own way, but it's a little different twist to it. It's really about taking a more in-depth review of self, and seeing what are the limiting beliefs that are holding us back, because unless we start working on some of that stuff, we're going to create the same results again in 2012. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to create 2012 again. My entire life has always been about, no matter how good or bad a prior year has been, I don't want to create it again. I love the newness of taking a new approach, of looking at taking the crystal, turning it, saying, I know for me to create something different, I need to push myself in a new way. I need to take on a new look. I need to do something different to get there. So this strategic acceleration is going to be part of my life over the next 12 months. So I wanted to teach you guys and to open your eyes to it so you could get a flavor of what Tony Geary talks about in this book and his philosophy and how he's been approaching helping corporations, because the name of the book is Strategic Acceleration, Succeed at the Speed of Life. We're going to go through it over the next 4 weeks. I'm going to be covering a couple chapters each week, and each of them has exercises to be done in conjunction with the chapter. And I'm attaching the exercises to the back of the outline. So today there's 6 different exercises attached to the back of your outline. And for those of you who want to play full out in this, I'm suggesting dig into those 6 exercises over the next week. And you can re-listen to this call, of course, and you could buy the book if you'd like to, whichever direction you want to go in to participate. But I'll be reviewing the entire book from front to back, and I will be going over those exercises on a weekly basis with you. So we'll have an opening discussion of the exercises, what you got out of it, what you didn't get out of it, where you got, stumbled, and then we'll go into the next couple chapters to take you forward. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about who Tony Geary is. The guy's been around for years. He's a speaker and a facilitator for corporations. He built his own company out of that because he fell in love with strategic planning. And what he does now, he gets hired out by corporations all around the world to go and help them do strategic planning and get their focus back and the clarity and the things that are most important to cause them to break through what's ever limiting in their belief structure that causing them to lock down on a non-productive or a productive but not ultimately the greatest productivity they could secure for their companies. So he's been phenomenally successful. He's very popular. Again, the book is out there. There's workbooks that go along with it as well. And I think that another interesting aspect of this for all of you in Manitech is the fact that corporate is, I believe they're going to be working with him come 2012. So what's fascinating is that you're going to be like maybe a little step ahead of corporate. Isn't that cool? In terms of working with Tony Geary, because you're going to be working with him through Mary Jo, or again, you could secure the book yourself and read it and do it that way. Whatever way you choose to do it is up to you. But it's fascinating material, and I know just by my first read-through of it and then preparing the outline today, that this material could be absolutely invaluable to you. And notice the words could be, because it's only going to be invaluable to you if you choose to allow it to be. In other words, you choose to take in what it has to offer to you and make some shifts in your life that might lead you to a different path in 2012. And that's our goal. We want to create extraordinary results, and that's the language, extraordinary results in 2012. That's my language. It doesn't come out of Tony's book. It's my language because that's truly what I want to create in 2012, and not just in my Manatech life, but in many other aspects of my life. So that's what I'm dedicated to in the next 12, 13 months. Okay, so let's kick off and take a peek at Tony's book. So it's called What? Strategic Acceleration, Succeed at the Speed of Life. Okay, and it's an interesting concept here, the speed of life and what you believe. And when you look at our technology today and how quickly everything is the pace at which things change. And you don't need to be around Lydia to know that. Lydia is one of these people that every time there's a new gadget, she needs to have it, which means almost weekly we're securing new gadgets. Now, a lot of times she can turn in her old gadget to replace it, and she actually makes money because there's hardly any depreciation, especially when you work in the Apple world. But she loves new technology. She's just really attracted to me, probably maybe another generation. I'm older than she is. For those of us in our 50s, late 50s, 60s, 70s, technology sometimes kind of shuts us down because it's like, oh, my gosh, it's so fast-paced, right? So if we look at the term, the speed of life, it's a term that some of us really intuitively can understand, right? I mean, there was a quote in the book that said, it's not the big that eat the small, it's the fast that eat the slow. It's not the big that eat the small, it's the fast that eat the slow. So we're looking at what is this speed of life, what is the concept here? And the speed of life is it kind of paints a picture of fast-paced living and a glut of opportunities and choices that require all of us to be constantly in kind of a decision-making pattern. It carries with it the optimism of what opportunity brings to us, but it's also a term that imparts a sense of stress. So there's kind of a paradox around it. And I'll just read a little bit out of the book for you. It says, for employees, the speed of life may mean coping with policy changes, financial adjustments, and ever-increasing workloads. For husbands and wives, the speed of life may involve dealing with distractions that erode communication and trust and create relationship problems. For parents of a growing family, it might represent a nonstop treadmill of activity that requires juggling schedules for sports, dance, art lessons, birthday parties, etc. For children, the speed of life requires them to live in the powerful grip of peer pressure that asks them to grow up faster than ever before. The speed of life is tough, it is real, and it impacts you at every juncture of your life. So although the speed of life presents a lot of challenges in our life, it also provides incredible benefits, right? Because we live today in one of the most exciting, prosperous times in the history of mankind with the speed that things occur in, and I'm not suggesting that's going to ever slow down. I think we're on a mill of where this is only going to get faster. So it's how do we best deal with it and take advantage of it to maximize the benefit to us instead of allowing us to get caught up in it like tossed and turned. I looked at it, you know, as I read this the first time around, I started thinking about, you know, if you get caught up in the speed of life, you almost feel like you're in a tsunami or you're in that big wave and you just keep getting tossed up and down and around. And I don't know how many of you have felt that sometimes, that you just can't keep up and it just keeps twirling around you and life can, yeah. So does that make sense? So the idea is that the opportunity here is I can get more done faster and have a wider range of choices and activity than ever had before. And the reason for this is that we got to start evaluating and we got to start looking at time as a, you know, and we've heard this saying so many times, time is our only limited asset. Our time is the most, in Tony's language, he says, our time is the most important capital that we have. So we have to start evaluating what we're doing with that time. And thus, we've seen over the last number of years the importance of time management techniques, and they've become very popular and people are utilizing them in many ways, shapes, or form. But there has to be something underlying a time management technique, and that is what we call clarity. And that's one of his three basic components of strategic acceleration. Starts with clarity, then focus, then execution. So critical for us to have clarity, right? It's critical. And that's the, otherwise we're going to be lost in that wave, we're going to be caught up in a tsunami, and we're going to get lost in this speed of life. He deals with the word success, and you know, we've heard, let's talk about that for a moment, because we talk about, you know, trying to achieve success, and he talked about successful businesses and successful people. He says, if we had to define success, how would we define success? And that's an interesting, if you ask 10 people to define success, you would get how many different answers? Probably 10. Some might be similar. Somebody might say, success to me is having $1 million in the bank. And somebody might say, success to me is having $500,000 in my retirement account so I can feel confident and comfortable that I have what it's going to take for me to survive the next 20 years of my life. I mean, so money could be, there could be a similarity, but success is typically something that it's what you are in that moment. It's, some say success is being happy. Some say, you know, success is achieved when you required a list of things, or again, going back to money. So every personal achievements or business life or all of these are legitimate descriptions of success. But the point here is clear that success is a moving target. For a lot of people, it's a moving target. And what we need to do is get more specific about what it is. And he kind of distilled a simple definition of what most people seem to agree with, that what we are successful when we achieve objectives we have established in advance, right? So it, what does it have to do with? Establishing in advance is a critical aspect of that definition, that we have clarity on what our objectives are. We have clarity on them. And he said successful businesses and successful people know what they really want and are willing to do whatever it takes within the parameters of integrity and honor to get it. So they know what they want. So they're not living a life by chance or serendipity. They're living their lives on purpose. They know what they want. So what do they have? They have clarity. And with that clarity, of course, comes that ability to what? To be able to focus and be and clear. And then the whole concept of the speed of life around us doesn't really impact us and toss us and turn, because we have such clarity over the direction that we're going. So really important for us in to take charge of our lives and take charge of our direction is to have some clarity. And how many of us on this call can look at our lives right now and say, wow, that's a huge point for me because I'm not really clear. And I can say that myself because there are different parts of my life that I don't have clarity today. And part of that, you know, I sit on a board of directors and maybe I'm not getting clarity around what our purpose really is because they've added confusion to my life. I thought I knew, and then all of a sudden I didn't. So now all of a sudden I need to go back and establish clarity for myself so I don't find myself tossed and turned in that whirlwind. My Manatech business, you know, I looked at what happened at ManaQuest, and I had total clarity from that. I just said, okay, here's my commitment, here's my clarity on what I want to make out of this, and started moving forward. And now I'm reassessing that, and I'm saying, okay, how is this going to look different? Because I know I can't keep doing the same thing over and over again if I want to create better or different results. So I need to fine-tune things. I need to learn from my actions, what I did do, what I didn't do, what happened. And it's not failure or success. This isn't about just because things aren't working the way you might want them. It's about even if you're succeeding in a huge way. So it's about evaluation. It's about getting clarity. It's about being clear about our direction. And because without clarity, what happens to us is we can't take the second step, which is called focus. We can't be focused. And some of you might even look at your Manatech business today and say, you know what, Mary Jo, that's a big thing. You know, I'm out there just doing things, but I really don't have clarity on what it's going to take or what I need to be doing. I'm just kind of doing for the sake of doing. I'm staying active. I'm continue to be active. But are my activities generating the results I want? Because I'm not clear on what that looks like. So clarity becomes crucial for us, right? Crucial for us to have clarity. And that's his first major point, is that that's what's going to help us reduce the stress that occurs because of the speed of life, is just be clear, be clear on activities and strategies that capture your time and attention. And they should be those that most directly impact the results you want and need. So you start evaluating your life and looking at, okay, my activities, my life, are those activities that I'm spending my time, my most limited asset on, are those the ones that most directly impact the results I want and need for my life? That's a great question. And the neat thing about starting to ask that question is when you start looking at, you know, the clarity that you have, this that the speed of life in and of itself isn't something that's changed the basic fundamentals of achievement. It merely has reduced the amount of time that you have to do what you need to do. Let me say that again. The speed of life has not changed the basic fundamentals of achievement. It just has merely reduced the amount of time you have to do what you need to do. So when you have that clarity, so organizations and people with clarity, they don't have to be goaded or pushed into being effectiveness. They don't have to feel like somebody is constantly prodding them. If you feel like you're constantly being pushed or goaded into effectiveness, then I'm going to suggest that you're sitting out there without clarity. And if some people say, well, Mary Jo, your phone calls on Monday morning, they're the things that really get me going. Well, I could be a motivational factor to you, but if you feel like every day you need to be goaded or pushed into being effective in your Manatech business, then you got to start looking and saying, you know what's lacking? Clarity. Because when you have clarity, what happens is you start being pulled toward your vision with amazing power. If you know what you really want, that's when opportunities and choices you have will be more abundant in your life, and you're going to have greater confidence in your efforts. If you know what you really want, the opportunities and choices you have will be more abundant, and you're going to have greater confidence in your efforts. So again, clarity lies at that basic, absolute, critical juncture for us in order to move us forward, because this idea is about not being goaded or pushed into our effectiveness, but rather being pulled. Feel like there's almost a gravity force that is pulling you towards prosperity and success, as you would define it. And that's what happens when you get really crystal clear. And you can see that in people who have been successful. You can see it in people in Manatech that have been successful. They step into clarity. They have a real crystal clear picture of what that means to them. And then they start aligning. With that clarity, they start aligning their time to the events and activities that are going to get them into that direction. So critical for us to do that. So without clarity, you will not be willing to change. Because change is inevitable, change is a must, change is, if you hate the word change like my husband does, then you ought to go get a job and you ought to work that job and you ought to report to your boss every day and you ought to make somebody else wealthy and successful and take on whatever level of, you know, comfort you get out of that job environment, assuming that you think there's some security there, right? Because then you could just live that life and continue down that path. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's going to ever fulfill a purpose that you have or a tug on your heart that's saying there's a bigger purpose out there for you. There's a bigger course for your life to take on. But if you hate change, you're kind of stuck in that dilemma. And it's not good or bad. There's no value judgment here. You make a choice around that. I think that to create the incredible results, to fulfill that huge purpose in your life, to answer the tug in your heart that some of us even have stopped listening to, you need to envelop change in your life like every day of your life. You got to start looking at how does change, how do I need to change? And without that clarity, you're going to be unwilling, you're not going to be willing to change, and life requires voluntary change all the time. We need a strategy that will produce voluntary change in our life. We all need it. Now, exercise number one at the back of the outline is going to give you a little, you know, kind of start in that direction. And it I'm just asking you again to do it. It's going to be it talks about creating voluntary change in your life. And so that's going to be one of the projects for you to do over the next week before you come back next Monday, is to do that exercise around voluntary change. Let's take a second step is like perception, because some of the changes that need to happen in our life have to do with our perception of reality. And it's an interesting comment. People say perception of reality, when reality, your reality is actually your perception, right? Perception is reality. It isn't a perception of reality, because even if what you perceive coming from your limiting beliefs or what's going on for you, even if it's not the truth, it is the truth for you. So it becomes your reality. So you're creating your reality by your own limiting belief system. Because and the speed of life around us creates circumstances that are very real, and it's pressure that's caused as much by perception as it is by fact. It's a perception you have, that and that perception may not be real at all, but it becomes your reality because it's a choice that you're making around your perception. So how you feel about the pressures is a direct result in what you believe about your opportunities and the choices you make daily, right? And Frank Lloyd Wright, there's a good quote in the book that says, from Frank Lloyd Wright, he says, the thing always happens that you really believe in, and the belief in the thing makes it happen. Remember the power of believing, the magic of believing. Whether truth or not truth, it's out there, and it generates tremendous energy towards it based on what your belief is. So he kind of calls it like a belief window. It contains what you believe, everything you believe to be true, false, correct, incorrect, inappropriate, appropriate, possible, impossible. Okay, we all have a belief window, and that two things are happening in our belief windows. It's framing all of our views of people, places, and things, and creating the perceptions and feelings we have about everything. It's also influencing the actions you take regarding those same people, places, and things. So notice the limitation of our belief window. And if you're not aware of what you need, you're not going to recognize the importance of things that might be critical to your success. So our belief window tends to shrink our ability to tackle what are the greatest things that we're going to produce in our life, because it's shaped by our past, what we accept as truth and our personal experiences versus what our potential could be. And that's how we limit ourselves. We allow this belief window to really kind of grab onto us and restrict us from what we might believe. And the consequences, if you look at what are the consequences of my belief window framing something incorrectly. And all of you have been through this. If you ever look back, and part of one of the exercises is going to be for you to reexamine it again, that our belief windows change. Our beliefs change over time. Now, there might be certain beliefs that don't change for you. Like you say, Mary Jo, I believe in God, and that has never changed. And right, that may never change, because that belief is really serving you in an incredible way. So it's not. But there are other beliefs that change for us all the time, because what happens is we have new experiences, and if we're open to listening and hearing and seeing and feeling a new experience, it will shift our belief system. When people go in the mission field, it shifts their belief system. When people go on manna relief trips, it shifts their belief system. Because there's a new experience out there to add to our experiences that open our eyes to something we'd never have seen before or felt before, new emotions, new sights, new things that we're open. But what a wonderful thing to think about living in the question all the time. In other words, why not live in the question instead of always having the answer? And I think so many of us are stuck in having the answers. If you look at yourself in a communication with a spouse or a daughter or son or something, why is it that you always have the answers? Well, number one, the need to be right. Number two, it could be the need to be the authority, especially when you deal with raising kids. You have this this incredible need to be the authority on everything. When sometimes children have the most incredible insight into something, but we don't really listen because we have already, in our belief window, created them as not mature enough, not knowing enough, I know more, I know better, and or adding on this one, I'm responsible because I'm the parent, so I'm going to tell them what's right and wrong or what's the right way to do something. When they might come up with a totally creative way of doing something, but you're not open to hear because you see what happened is you have these limiting beliefs about your role in their life, their age, you have all these preconceptions. What if we started dealing with our five-year-old as if he was a, you know, the next Steve Jobs, right, a genius, and we really hear what they have to say, and we take that information, and we start chewing on it instead of dismissing it because it came out of the mouth of a five-year-old. It's amazing what kind of life we can create. And I just took that as a child. I think the same thing can be applied. You can take it in your Manatech business. Some of you, let me take, for instance, like the Real Switch Challenge. Some of you have always just shared the products. That's your comfort zone. You've lived in that. You've been there your whole life. You know how to do that. Real Switch Challenge came along, and all of a sudden you felt, oh, my gosh, I've got to talk about the business because it's switching from employee to entrepreneur. And I'm showing a business plan and money. And you felt so awkward, you went backwards. You said, oh, that's not for me. Or you just shut down. Why? Because you were unwilling to change. You're unwilling to see something different. But if you went back and you looked at what have I created with my Manatech business doing it my way, maybe there's a cost that you're paying for not opening up to making a shift and looking at something differently. Maybe there's a price everybody around you is paying because you're unwilling to do that, because most people out in our world today are less concerned about their health than they are about dollars and putting food on the table. And you have a way of doing that and helping them. So there's other ways of looking at it, but you're choosing to just lock down because you need to be right. Some of it is fear of, you know, looking back and saying, oh, my gosh, I've been doing this. It's not about fear, though. You got to look at that and say, why am I letting fear control my life? That's crazy. I tell people all the time, I just got back from a personal development seminar. I was out there 5 days in San Francisco, and I go, man, I never can get enough of this stuff because I grow every time. I learned some amazing things in my last seminar. It was awesome. I came away with it with some new acknowledgments about, you know, creating a better life, working with people in a more effective way. I've got to be ready and open to change. No matter where I am or how effective I've been in the past, doesn't matter. It's like, how do I grapple with being better? How do I grapple it? I do it only because I come from a question. I start questioning some of the beliefs I have and saying, okay, are those serving me and why do I have them? And maybe it's better if I open my eyes and stay in the question instead of having to have to be right or feeling like this is the only way. Right? And if you have something in your belief window that if it's framing something incorrectly, what can be the consequences? And he gave a story in there about somebody, and you can just see how this might apply to your Manatech business as well. That you know, because I see this happening when I remember talking to somebody in Manatech one time when I was doing the chiropractic work, and the woman said, "Well, Mary Jo, I don't want 20 new associates in my downline each month." And I was like, you don't want 20 new associates in your downline each month. She goes, no, because I couldn't manage it. And I was just like, wow. Do you think there's another way of looking at this picture? I couldn't manage it. So that was very similar to the case study that Tony did in his book around this idea of, you know, changing strategic beliefs. There was a guy, his name was George, and he had an incredible business. He had built this business. It was a commercial paint contracting business. And he had huge clients like Target, Emory University. He was out of Atlanta. He had Days Inn, Kaiser. He had all these great, and he had built this incredible business. He was in a place in his life, he was very happy with his life and his work, he was very financially set, but he had built his company around himself, and he really felt maxed out with respect to future opportunities. It was like, I'm maxed out, this is my maximum opportunities. Why? Well, when Tony met with him, he found this huge belief that he needed to be personally involved in a long list of responsibilities in order to maintain the success of the company, which is very much a belief system entrepreneurs take on. I've seen it over and over and over again. It's why the big companies buy out the small fish companies, because they understand that there is no limit on what can be done with an effective idea. It's limitless. But the guy who's running it can't see that because he's stuck in it. It's his baby. He created it. He needs to have his blueprint, his fingerprints on everything that has to be done, kind of that micromanagement type thing. And that's where George was in this painting business. He believed, his limiting belief, his window of belief, had him believing that he had to be personally involved in all these responsibilities in order to maintain the success. So, in effect, he believed he couldn't go beyond where he already was. He had a self-limiting belief about himself and his business. And he had maxed out with where he was. So what happened with Tony, steps in and starts counseling this guy, and here's his limiting belief, right? What did he have? He had a belief window framing something incorrectly about himself. And what Tony did was consulted with him and got him to agree to a new idea that it was possible for him to duplicate himself in others by finding and training individuals he trusted, individuals who could sell and manage important contracts and give them just as much care and concern as George could do, right? Well, 18 months later, George had duplicated himself 4 times in other people, and his business doubled. His revenues doubled. And here he thought he was maxed out. So same thing with this gal who said to me, Mary Jo, I couldn't handle 20 people new in my organization. I couldn't manage them. Well, do you see where that was a limiting belief? And some of you are stuck with that too. You go, well, man, I don't want to go out and contact 20 people today because I couldn't manage it, or I couldn't handle this, or I couldn't. And I'm going, well, how many techniques do we have that could be a difference there? Maybe one of the people you find or somebody else in your downline you could start working with, they're not good prospectors, but they're great managers. So 10 of the people you get, you could put under them because you need help in that leg anyway and growing. I mean, you see, there are 101 strategies out there to tackle the problem, but you're stuck in your own limiting belief. And you got to start watching for how is that holding you back? Because most of us don't want to be held back. Most of us want to create the maximum possible we can. And that's where that whole example gets in about, you know, why we want to stop being stuck in our limiting beliefs. And if we look at our issues and how we deal with things, to move on and talk about strategic versus tactical. Because strategic is the why, tactical are the hows. Okay, so why is where strategy is, right? Strategic deals with that. So what are the belief windows? The why behind your actions and choices is therefore a set of strategic beliefs, right? Our whys behind it. If our why beliefs, our strategic beliefs, become muddled, our why around Manatech, our why around our prospecting, if they become muddled, then our how, our tactical solutions, decrease significantly, or they're very much diminished because they'll become too confusing. You can't get the how solutions until the why is settled. So if you're talking about clarity, you need to have clarity around your strategic beliefs because otherwise, again, the focus and execution fall off. You need to have clarity around the why, right? Again, looking at how this impacts us is the concept of the speed of life, again, the 24/7 assault on our belief window, okay? We constantly have this. It's going to cause confusion just merely by the sheer volume of the information that confronts us every single day. And we can't possibly test all the information that comes upon us, right? There's no way because it's massive. So instead of, you know, allowing ourselves to be distracted from the things that we know we need to do that really matter, because the speed of life will confuse you incessantly, right? What you need to do is, again, go back to the strategic whys, the why behind your actions and choices. You need to not risk yourself buying into self-limiting beliefs about what you can and should do. You need to have total clarity what the solution is, because that's what's going to help you settle on the tactical approach. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself chasing bunny trails, another way of looking at it. Because the clarity about what you want is actually what empowers your ability to believe in what you're actually doing. But you have to start with that bottom line of clarity. And another way he looked at this is that if you lack clarity, you're also going to end up into what he calls felt needs. And there are massive numbers of quote-unquote felt needs. Felt needs are the emotions we feel as a result of unresolved questions and challenges. What are those felt needs? Well, there are many of them, but there are two major ones that he emphasized. There are two major ones that can be traced to a lack of clarity. Number one is, there's not enough time to do all I have to do. Wow, that's huge. That's just totally lack of clarity. Totally. Because there's always enough time. And he says in his book, he goes, anything worth doing should be done, period. End of story. And there always, anytime that something's worth doing, there are a ton of options available to getting it done. But again, if you don't have clarity, what happens is that you're just not going to create and open up the opportunities for yourself because you're not even clear at what that end result and goal is. So clarity then becomes a tripping stone. It's, again, the thing that's stopping you dead in the water from achieving the results that you may want to achieve. So you got to do that. The second felt need that's most popular is the results I'm experiencing are less than I want or expect. Well, the only way to change results you're getting is to do things differently than what you've been doing. Because you're probably stuck in things that aren't high leverage activities that can significantly move your results forward. Your best results are always going to become from your ability to focus on high leverage activities, that in fact the activities that really make a real difference in your life. And clarity is what's going to allow you to focus on that. Without clarity, again, you lose that. So you've got to start looking at what are those limiting beliefs. What are they? So you got to evaluate limiting beliefs. Exercise 3 in the outline gives you an opportunity to do that. Again, something else you can look at to tackle for next week's session. And the next aspect was you can live in the problem or live in the solution. You know, a lot of you people look around you and could say, I tend to live in my problems. Yeah, that's going to kill you because you're stuck. Right? Again, clarity comes from aiming towards solution. There are always a million more solutions than there are problems. Some of you can't see that because you're stuck in the problem. You want to focus on the problem. I tend to call this kind of the victim status where we hang out in a problem. And it's and for me, you know, I have empathy for people stuck in it, but I also acknowledge that I rarely have ever had this experience in my life because I'm such a solution-oriented person. Maybe somebody says that comes from your lawyering background. I don't think so. I think because I had that nature to start with, I ended up going into the legal field because that's where solutions are. You always are going after solutions. Creative thinking, anything's possible, all of that positivity. So you want to make sure that you're choosing differently because every day you make a choice about your attitude, which is shaped by your belief window. So it's about choosing. Can I choose to be in the problem or can I choose to be operating from solution? And one is tremendously empowering. Solution is tremendously empowering. Choosing to be in the problem is severely limiting. So, but again, it's a choice that we need to make every day. And we want to try to increase our effectiveness, right? So we want to, and increasing our effectiveness is going to be causing us to change. We need to take a change. We need to put ourselves outside what we call, and he even does a whole piece around comfort zone in his book. So we need to get out of that comfort zone because the comfort zone isn't producing. Every time somebody hangs in the comfort zone, I say, are you getting all the results you want in your life? Is your life exactly what you want it to be? And if you answer that yes, then I'm going to suggest you're also stuck. Because my life is, you know, it's not that I live in an unsatisfied life. It's just that I know there's always something greater for me to do out there. Because every time I read the paper, look at the news, or see anything, there's always something more I could be, what, participating in. So I just pray every day to, you know, broaden my fields, increase my yield, increase my income, all of that, so that I can play a bigger role in different things, because there's so many needs out there that need to be met. So it's you always want to improve your results. And he built an effectiveness ladder, and I put that on the attachment as well, kind of to give you an idea of the different ways of looking at your life and things that hit you. The effectiveness ladder is the third page of your outline today, and you can kind of grapple with that as an interface with your life. It's about looking at where you are on the rungs, yeah, in terms of an effectiveness ladder. You have, they go like this. Rung one is become aware of the need. And sometimes we live in unawareness. Awareness is always the first step to change. So if you're not even aware of a need, then you're not going to even get on the ladder at all. And are there needs out there? Oh, millions of them, and there are millions that we each have. But you have to acknowledge it first that you need it. And some of you with the going back to the, you know, Real Switch Challenge thing, you never saw yourself as needing an approach to give people to present the business because you never accepted it as a need. But now you're starting to see with our recession, maybe you're all of a sudden starting to be aware of a need out there that you weren't willing to address before. So your awareness is there. Now your second rung is clarifying the need. So you now become aware of it, something that you did not know, but you still can't do whatever it is that you did not know, right? So you need to start looking about clarifying it and getting real clarity around this specific need so that you can start getting to the third rung, which is focusing on the need, because you still have to identify the need, focus on the need, and start investing time into it. Because now it's something that's critical to you. It's a high leverage activity. It's going to produce incredible results for you. So let's start focusing on it. And then the final step of the rung is to start out in taking action with respect to it. So executing on the need. So there's four steps to that effectiveness ladder, and we need to take those steps in order to get where we want to be in life and to have the clarity around the activity that we're involved in. So you can take this effectiveness ladder and you can start looking at other things in your life that you see as needs, and you can start saying, okay, what am I aware of? What am I not aware of? And it's hard to know what you're not aware of because why? Because if you are aware of it, you might be taking action. But I'm going to suggest, too, that a lot of us are hiding from awareness of things. We use excuses why we don't want to be aware of them, and then we hide from them. And so the important thing for us is to look at some of the ways that maybe we're just not being aware because we're choosing to stay ignorant about things. And so there's an exercise around that. The clarity blueprint exercise is the exercise number 4 that's attached to the outline, and I want you to do that. There are key components to that clarity blueprint, and it goes like this: what you want to do, why you want to do it, how you will do it, the benefit of doing it, and the negative result of not doing it. Those are the 5 key components to the clarity blueprint. So, you know, you can sit there and what you want to do. Well, what you want to do, maybe some of you are going to choose, I want to do Manatech and I want to reach Manatech. I want to be executive director, presidential director by December of 2012. And that might be something that's critically important for you. And then you're going to say, why do you want to do it? You're going to start filling in. What is the reason you're going to do it? Well, because you want financial security for your family. You want to build a future because you're not sure about Social Security even being in existence 5 years from now. You want to, you know, there might be 20 reasons, but build that into your screening process so that it helps you build clarity, right? You need to start doing that because that's what's going to start triggering. Again, it's going to trigger for you the need to change, the need to take some of those blueprints that you have, your mental blueprints that you have, and start changing some of those, you know, those effective belief systems you have that are holding you back from being what you want to be. And some of us shy away from even doing a clarity blueprint because you're choosing, I don't want to be clear, Mary Jo, because that's going to cause me to have to change. Well, that's a choice that you can make. Remember, life is choice. Life is choice. But I believe you're on this call today because you've made the choice that you want something different in your life. And you're open and willing to make a change. So that willingness to change plays an incredible part in your ability to succeed, both personally and professionally, at the speed of life. And that's what this is about. It's about how do we incorporate, how do we start incorporating a willingness in our lives to change? Because only, looking at those results, to change the results you're creating is going to require you to change the way you're thinking. And that's where you got to start. So the blueprint is really a powerful exercise to do. So we'll talk more about that next week. The second chapter I'm going to get into, I have 5 minutes left. That was a huge one, though. The power of clarity is really incredible. And the second chapter, he talked about the pulling power of clarity. Remember we talked about being pushed or goaded versus pulling? Once you get the clarity around your vision, oh, my gosh, it just pulls you in a direction. It's that law of attraction. It's about putting out, what you put out as you sow, so shall you reap. Well, if you put out lack of clarity, you're going to reap a mess. So, but part of the component to the strategy is to develop an authentic vision for yourself. And all of us wear different hats in our lives. We have a family hat, a professional hat, we have a spiritual hat, we have all these different, we have a community service hat. And although the hats we wear differ, our time and effort are invested in anticipation of getting certain results, right? So we need to be looking at about these principles of strategic acceleration. They're really applicable to every activity that we undertake to get results. And it's about getting clarity about our mission, the first step towards strategic acceleration. We need to have that vision. We need to have clarity around the vision. Okay, so what is our vision? And we know one thing, if we keep doing the same things over and over again, we're going to keep getting the same results. That's the definition of insanity, and we've looked at that over and over again. But changing is difficult. Why is change difficult? Because we believe right now in what we're doing is right. But you have to start looking at it. How is it working for you or not working for you? And when you start climbing that effectiveness ladder, when you start doing need analysis and you start making those changes, it's going to disrupt your comfort zone. But I tell people when they stay in their comfort zone, it's self-defeating because it's accepting that where you are is the best you need to be or do, which is pretty, pretty sorry. But it is a choice. We can make that choice. We need to also understand how our brain works. Our brain functions in a way very different than a lot of us think it works. Sometimes as we rely on our brain, we want to say, my brain's going to give me new ideas. And effectively, it's the vision requires you to engage your brain in focusing on thinking about your opportunities. It's a vision that you have. Your human mind is a machine, but we can't expect it to do things beyond its design. The brain does a lot of things, but its primary conscious function is to reason and reach conclusions. When we get off track is where we start thinking that our brains are capable of developing completely new ideas. The brain can't do that. Your brain just puts things together that may not seem to be related and creates new possibilities out of those connections. So if you're relying on your brain, my brain will come up with new ideas, you've got to first, how do you stimulate the brain is by giving your brain what? A vision, right? You start giving your brain a vision, and then those opportunities come out in the form of ideas. But you've got to plant the vision because your brain is, again, reaching conclusions or reasoning, not in and of itself come out with ideas. So sometimes people have heard the saying, opportunity knocks, but when you understand how your brain works, you really realize that opportunity does not knock. Opportunity exists if the right connections are begin to be made. And what does it require us to have? That our vision. We need to have a vision. And vision is so crucial to develop those opportunities. And sometimes we try to do it the other way around, and it doesn't work. And he had some stories in there. He talked about this guy. It was a great story about this gentleman in Africa. His name was Albert. And, of course, he grew up in Africa in the poor areas. And he saw a show one time about living in the United States. And he just was overwhelmed by the fact that when he was a little kid that people in the United States had shoes. Everybody had shoes. And it was incredible that he looked at that and he said, well, everybody has shoes, so I want to live in the United States. That's the connection. And he formed a vision in his mind about going to America. He wanted to go live in the place where everyone had shoes. Now, look at how simplistic that was, but yet he created a vision. And it totally changed his life. Now, how did Albert, his name is Albert, how did he get there? Well, he just kept keeping the vision. He never gave up on the vision. Everybody laughed at him. They chortled. They laughed. Developing pen pals all across America. He started applying to schools in America when he got out of high school because he heard that they offer scholarships to him. And after applying to and being rejected by more than 300 American colleges, he eventually received a full scholarship from Western Maryland College near Baltimore. Isn't that amazing? And once he got out of college, he ended up falling in love and got married, and he ended up the only job he could get was washing dishes. And he was washing dishes and washing dishes, but you know what he decided? He set his goal of becoming the best dishwasher that Marriott Corporation ever had seen. So he became a best dishwasher, and that got him a promotion. And he ended up became what is called a barback, which is in a cocktail lounge, being a bar, stocking the bar with supplies. But he noticed that everybody that came to the bar seemed to be really well off. So he started looking at, well, what do these people do who come into this bar all the time? And he found out they were marketing. They were salesmen. So he decided, well, I've got to get out of this stupid barback job because I'm still not getting any money. So he saw these wealthy people. So he said, well, maybe I could sell. But he never had sold in his life. He didn't know what it was like. So he got a job selling Yellow Page advertisements. And then he started hanging out with people who were the best in the sales to learn more about how to be the best. And within a year, he became the company's top 5 salesperson in the United States in selling Yellow Pad advertisements. And he became incredibly successful and eventually ended up getting into another career in sales and did a great job. And he turned out to go out and teach people how vision can totally change their life. So it's not about the circumstances you're living in. It's having a vision and living strict to that vision, living true to your vision. So exercise 5 is going to give you the opportunity to look at a vision for your life. It's created by combining opportunity with your personal strengths and talents, and that's what you want to do is create that vision for yourself. And maybe you're going to have a hard time tackling that issue because you haven't worked on it in a long time, but clarity on what you really want is crucial. Jim Rohn puts that discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. But you have to have clarity, because once he became clear, just like Albert's story about getting out of Africa, once he became clear, the pulling power of that clarity got him to where he wanted to be. And once he got to America, he wanted more, and he wanted to have the American dream. And he just allowed that clarity to keep him focused on being the best he could be at everything he did and keep climbing and pursuing what he wanted. So critical for us to have that clarity, and clarity comes from vision. Vision creates the opportunities in our brain and creates the ideas in our brain to allow us to move forward and take advantage of those activities that are going to be most suited to supply us and get us where we want to be in life. So if you feel stagnant in your business, most of us probably feel a little bit of that. We need to get more clarity on and see where new opportunities are really around us everywhere. Because one of the, as he puts it in the book, one of the seemingly miraculous effects of becoming clear on what you want is that you begin to see opportunity everywhere. And we all need to take small steps to get there. His scenario around that was talking about how the cruise ships, how many of you have been on a cruise ship? And what happens on a cruise ship is when they dock, they don't throw the big, huge rope out because no one can handle that. They actually throw a roll of twine to the guy on the dock. Now, twine is a very small step. That's a very thin thing. But attached to the twine, as they pull that in, they get a hold of a rope. It's still not the 4-inch cable that is going to help dock the ship, but it's a rope that's attached to the cable. So that's the next step, is to pull on that rope that has attached to the cable. Finally, that they get the cable, and then they can take the cable and set the ship at dock. So it's just small little steps is really what life is all about. And that's what we need to do, is each one of them bring us closer and closer to that larger opportunity. But we need to be clear and have a vision towards that, or we're never going to accomplish what we want to accomplish. So understanding our strengths and gifts is critical. Two main reasons why people give up on their dreams are they're not clear about what they really want, and that might be you. And hopefully after today you're going to take some time and energy around getting clear on that. Or number two, they didn't approach their opportunities properly. In other words, opportunities came into our lives because we had a vision at one time, but we just didn't go after them because of fear, because of limiting beliefs, because of other things that just held us back. It was the crabs in the dish pulling us back, and we didn't allow ourselves to spread our wings and fly. So we're not going to allow that to happen in 2012. We're going to clip those from our lives. We're going to become clear on what our vision is, and then we're going to start building off of that to create the best 2012 we can. The unique thing about each and every one of us is our own lives. We're all extremely unique, and we have a lot to offer to each and every person out there. The last exercise is an exercise that talks about that, getting more clarity about the uniqueness of us, and that's exercise 6. It's on the attachment to the outline, and so it's going to be 6 exercises for next week. So the idea here is that achieving clarity of vision is the cornerstone of strategic acceleration. When you have authentic vision, things happen. You're going to find yourself being pulled to it instead of pushed or goaded. And all you have to do is follow the connecting opportunities to achieve it. What a wonderful way to live a life is to just feel that pull, that tug, that constant pulling, and just continue to step into the connecting opportunities as they present themselves because you have clarity around your vision. All right, people, that's day one. So you want to play full out, then I'm going to suggest you do the 6 exercises. Will they take a considerable amount of time? Probably not. For some of you, maybe more than others because you haven't put much thought into it. Are you going to come up against stuff when you start doing some of these exercises? I would suggest that's probably true for all of us. But that's good. Work through the stuff and put down the responses to your exercises. Put some depth into them. Don't stay superficial on them because it's not going to help if you just use the same old mental processes you've always used, right? Think outside the box. Get out of that comfort zone, and let's create some greatness here. So we'll review the exercises next Monday. We'll review the 6 exercises, and then we're going to go on to the next couple chapters, which is going to be step 2. This one's all about clarity. Next time we're going to talk about focus and the power of focus and what that can mean for you. But again, the foundational step is clarity, right? Okay, everybody, great. Thanks for being on the call today. Any comments, questions? All right, everybody, love you all. Have a great week. Post-Thanksgiving, let's work towards building the greatness and getting some real clarity around 2012 for all of us and working through this strategic acceleration for each and every one of our lives. I'm excited about the material. I know you'll be excited about the rest of the book as well. But it's step-by-step process, step-by-step-by-step, okay? All right, bye-bye, everybody. Have a great week.